This recording, Jamaica 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start her new job at a superb private practice in North Square, near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you'd only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Montego Bay, Jamaica. I grew up there. I spent 16 years there. I finished high school, and in 2006 I moved to Massachusetts to go to college. I spent 4 years there. It was difficult because, of course, I was 16 years old and I went to college, so it was kind of a rough 4 years. But by the end, I got the hang of it, and the professor I was studying piano with there knew Dr. Tucker here, who's the choir director, and so when I knew I wanted to look into choral conducting as a possible career option, I decided to apply here. And so that's how I ended up being in Lawrence, and I just finished this May, I just finished my master's in conducting and piano. Usually, Jamaicans who have access to higher quality of education, who learn, you know, how to read properly and how to express themselves properly, usually sound like I do. I mean, we're speaking standard English, but the Jamaican accent is there. Then we are all exposed to the dialect because, of course, you know, there's no way to escape it. It's in pop culture. I mean, it's part of our culture. But there are some people who cannot express themselves outside of the dialect. And so a lot of times that's what people expect to hear from me, because that's the more famous, the more stereotypical Jamaican sound. I'm just trying to think of something to say. Like, I don't want to go there. Me no want go there. You know, that this kind of way of expressing yourself. And then within the dialect, there are slight variations according to where you're from. So it's interesting. I was watching a video on YouTube recently, and it was a guy who was dubbing over an infomercial, but he was using the dialect, and I said to my friend who I was watching it with, I can tell he's from Kingston because of, there's kind of a melding of the standard English with the broken English, so it's not fully one or the other, and I can kind of hear his accent coming out. I know a lot of people from St. Elizabeth, one of the parishes, it's like southwest Jamaica, and they have a much slower drawl to the way they speak Patois. there's a saying that we have. It goes, wherever it magay tago pop off. Basically, wherever, it's kind of talking about a branch, wherever it gets to its thinnest point, it's going to break. It's like a proverb that we have that, you know, I mean, you can only give so much, you know, you can't give any more before you end up giving too much. Wherever it magay tago pop off. There's another one, another proverb that goes, howdy and thank you no brok no tile. It's literally like, hello and thank you doesn't break any tiles. Basically, it's no skin off your, it's no effort to say hello and thank you to people. It shouldn't be, you know, such an effort to do that. Howdy and thank you no brok no tile. There's this thing that we have, it's kind of like an addendum to, if you're talking about somebody giving you a really, like, BS excuse for something, it's horse dead and cow fat. Literally what it sounds like, horse dead and cow fat. It's just like, yeah, so we were, you know, we were doing this and he might tell me this and that and horse dead and cow fat. It just comes out. It's just like, you know, it's ridiculous sounding, it doesn't make any sense, and that's kind of how you feel about what the person is telling you to.